What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, back at the 16th Annual Sports Medicine Update 2017, interviewing Maureen Gibbs. She is an athletic trainer. She is also a medical doctor. So, Dr. Gibbs, we spoke about this briefly, but I want you to share your story of athletic trainer to now a medical doctor. How you made the decision to go, why you went, and then we'll go.
Well, within the last 18 months of me being an athletic trainer, I practiced for about 6 years, and the last 18 months or so, I ended up with a cheerleader with a TIA, a football player paralyzed for 11 days with spinal shock, and an epidural brain bleed without a skull fracture, which is definitely not normal at all. And I decided that I just could not be out there with the level of knowledge that I had.
And this was at the high school level?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you were at high school, you were the only athletic trainer at this high school?
Yes. Right. Very small high school in Ohio.
All right, so then you mentioned that for your honeymoon, you and your husband decided to go back to medical school. So, but before we got there, so talk about the process between there. You said it was about a four-year period, right?
Yep, takes about 3 years. Took us 3 years. Takes time to apply to medical school, take the MCATs, take the courses you want to take, redo the courses that didn't go so well in college. A little too much fun at times. But took about 3 years to actually get accepted and then start medical school. So I started medical school at 28.
All right, so you were, did you get accepted to medical school and then retake those classes, or you had to retake those to apply?
Had to retake them to apply.
All right, so what was the hardest part about that whole process?
Probably the MCAT, I think. Just the level of dedication required to literally, I mean, that test is a make or break you to get in. It could make your life very, very easy or very, very difficult to get in. If you didn't do well, it really shot you in the foot, and you had to work really hard to get it.
All right, so your talk was about when traumatic injuries and when to refer on the, all right, and I know you were just talking with Justin about doing sutures on the field and that kind of thing. So for athletic trainers, it's the primary audience here, what were some of your most important points there? What are some of your most important takeaways?
I think the most important point is to be methodical. Whenever you look at an athlete, even if it's a toenail, a hangnail, you're still going to assess if their airway, breathing, and circulation are. You may not consciously do it, but every time you look at an athlete, assess, are we breathing? Is my chest rise normal? Because if it isn't, you are so well trained that you're going to notice that. As an athletic trainer, you've seen hundreds and hundreds of athletes, especially when they're your athletes, because you're with them day in, day out. So that's the biggest thing, is just to bring your method to the madness. Because Friday Night Football, for example, there's a lot going on. I mean, you're out there at a hockey game, you're on the ice, there's a lot going on. And you know, you have to always bring yourself back to, this is the method that I look at injuries, that I look at the athlete, I look at the whole picture.
All right, and is there a method that you feel works best?
There will be a method that works best for everyone. For me, I joke that my brain is a snow globe, but it's the God's honest truth. I don't compartmentalize very well. So when I have, even as an ER physician, when I have a lot of patients, I have to, when I go assess a patient, a trauma patient comes in, you know, their leg could be hanging off. You still have to do airway, breathing, circulation, because God forbid, if you go attack that leg first, your patient's going to die.
Tell me more about it.
So, like, I mean, you get out there and there's a football player who has a tib-fib fracture, and it's at some funky angle, and everyone's freaking out about that. But unfortunately, he also got hit hard enough that he's unconscious. If you focus on that leg, you are completely going to miss the fact that your athlete might not be breathing.
Okay, I got you. Okay, I'm with you now. So you always have to go through that. Hey, are you okay? And if there's no response, then you know they're unconscious. Now it's
exactly.
Immediately. Okay.
Because your first gut instinct is going to go to that drama thing first, the thing that's bleeding, the thing that's hanging off, the thing with the extra that wasn't there before.
Right.
Your gut's going to take you to that first. You have to cognitively, your train of thought, to always do A, B, C, and then do your second. And it's like that old goofball Red Cross crap that we hated sitting through.
Yep.
But it's there for a reason. They pound it into your head for a reason.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I teach CPR probably every 2 weeks. In my sports medicine class, we go over it and over it. And every time, I say every single time you're going to do, you're breathing, you got to check, call care. You always have to do this, because you get to that scene, you got to do that. That's good.
Yep.
That you just practice that method. All right, so what are some of the things that you would like athletic trainers to know now that you you are an athletic trainer now that you've stepped to the other side? Or further, I guess.
I think, it's just the same side, just moving along. I think the other thing that I really harped on in my presentation is that, you know, don't treat anything you can't treat the complications of. You know, even though I am further along in my education as a physician, I still have things that I can't treat. You know, just the other day, I mean, I'll get on the phone with a neurosurgeon and say, I have this finding. What do I do with this? You know, so anytime you have a question, you know, there's always somebody you can call, always somebody you can corroborate with, or, you know, or refer. You know, I mean, that's the easy way to put it. If you're not sure, get them to a higher level of care. You know how you do that. It might be an appointment next, if it's something that's non, you know, not urgent, or it might be an ambulance. You know, I mean, it just, but there's always an avenue for you to get help beyond the things that you're comfortable with. Because if something goes south with what you're taking care of, if you can't fix the thing that goes south, you have to get that patient out.
All right, so don't be afraid to refer. Refer on. All right. You mentioned you do Ironman stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so tell me that a little bit about that.
I did my first Ironman in 2009. It was in Florida. I was the last official finisher, 17 seconds before the cutoff. That was a long day, 16 hours, 59 minutes, and 43 seconds. My personal best is about 14 hours, just over 14, a little better. But I've done 7 total. I've started 8 Ironman Texas. Taking a break from that for a little while.
Why is that?
The kid's 4, and I'm tired.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, I want to do the same thing. I see people say, you know, they went for a 3-hour bike ride and then like an hour long run. I'm like, you're an athletic trainer. How do you possibly time for that?
Yep. Yeah, it does. It takes out a lot of other things like sleep and family.
But then at the same time, we as medical professionals should know that the most important part of being successful in your training and in your job and everything else is that 8 hours of sleep.
Yes. And that's the tough thing. A lot of my relationships suffered, whether it be family, visiting family that lives away, you know, things like that suffer. Just going out for coffee, you know, I didn't have time for that for a lot of years. And now I'm like, hey, it's kind of cool. I work out for like an hour a day and I go have coffee.
And did your husband do those as well?
Yes, he's actually done, I think, 15. I might be wrong. He did Kona last year, World Championships last year. So it's something we do together, but we're both kind of taking a little break, focus on some family time.
And does he have a background in athletic training as well?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, we met in graduate school at Western Michigan for athletic training.
And so you had roughly the same time frame. He was practicing for about 6 years.
Yep, we started medical school together. Originally, one of us was going to go to PA school. The other one was going to go to medical school. We were going to stagger the loans, essentially. And then we just said, forget it. We'll both take out loans and go together. It's a lot of loans.
Yeah, well, I imagine. Yeah, I listen to Dave Ramsey a lot, and talks about people come with $250,000 worth of school loans.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
All right, and if there's been a time in your career where you mentioned that you couldn't handle those things. So if there's been a time in your career where you were like paused or frozen, what was your treating a traumatic event?
You know, I think probably, you know, thinking back to my athletic training days, you know, the ankle sprains and that, you know, the kind of the everyday things got to be every day. So you got sort of good at them. Hey, this one needs to go. Hey, this one can stay. You know, it was the kid with the toss ball. I had a toss ball in warm-up, baseball warm-ups. Little, teeny, tiny little head. Like nothing, almost no impact to his head. I didn't think anything of it. And then somebody said, he's kind of acting funny. And it was so subtle that I debated on sending this kid to the hospital. And I got to set him. He had 3 inches of, so.
Just from getting bumped to the baseball.
Uh-huh, yep.
So was there any indication for even to sit him out?
He couldn't remember the word for seatbelt. That was my decision.
Why did you ask him about a seatbelt?
We were sitting in the edge of a car and I was giving a three object neuro test to tell me what they were. And he just gave me this blank stare when I asked him what the seatbelt was. All right, you're going to go.
Yeah, there's something.
And they flew him out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We got him to the local hospital and they flew him out.
Your Apple Watch talking to you. So.
Yes, that was Mickey Mouse telling us it's too far.
Very good. All right, it is really cool to hear your story of how you went from athletic training to medical school. And then obviously that's very difficult to do as an established. I applaud you for your efforts. Thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah, thank you for interviewing me. I'd love if anyone has any questions about, you know, going back to school or any of it. I'm there.
And on your slides, you put up your email, and it's ironmoe@gmail.com.
Yep.
ironmoe@gmail.com. So again, if you're interested in something along those same lines, email her. She's readily available in ironmoe@gmail.com to get a hold of Dr. Maureen Gibbs. Oh, and her husband's an ER physician as well, and so you could see what it's like, maybe discussing the dynamic between a married couple and physician, or parent life as a physician, that kind of. Hit her up on email. This is Jeremy Jackson, Dr. Maureen Gibbs, Josh Sheldon is standing over there making faces, and that is a wrap.